Well, this message is on shepherding. I think it's really sweet. Somebody knew my wife asked this brother, we know this brother, and he has this intention to go to the full-time training. And so we asked him, we said, well, why do you want to go to the full-time training? And his response was, I want to be an overcomer. And I thought, that's a really good response. And even as we're here this week, I have this sensation, this feeling within when we hear this, a man of God. There's just a response within us, right? It's like, that's what I want to be. You know, when I heard about, when you hear about an overcomer, don't you have that response? I want to be an overcomer. Amen. Right? So, but we may look at ourselves and think, I am not an overcomer. Because we probably have some concepts about what an overcomer is. So, when we say the word overcomer, what are some things that come to mind? What's an overcomer? Coworker? Reigns in life. Right, so I'll just write some words. Reigns. Somebody said coworker. Okay. Follows the lamb. Yeah, I was going to use that, but that's okay. Follows. Comes to the Lord over and over, right? So I'll just put comes. I got bad handwriting, so you don't have to write all this down, but by the blood of the lamb. Okay. What is it? Okay, you weren't supposed to answer. You know the answer. Okay, but it's good you answered because I was going to answer. So, these are all good and they're part of being an overcomer, but here's one word. Normal. Okay? So, I want you to pick up this concept. This thought is that to be an overcomer is not to be a superhero. It's not to be super spiritual. And it's not that I cannot do it. I can never be an overcomer. Actually, to be an overcomer, the definition in the ministry is to be normal in a time of abnormality. Right? So when you read in Revelation 2 and 3 about the churches, there's an abnormal situation there in the churches. There's a decline. Remember 2 Timothy? What's the subject of 2 Timothy? Right. There was a decline in the church, some degradation, right? And so what the Lord was trying, He was calling for certain ones, but He wasn't calling for superheroes. He was calling for normal believers, just to be normal in a time of abnormality. So really what we're sharing here is not something, don't think that I cannot do it. I can never be it. This is not my personality. This is not my disposition. Well, I'm just going to tell you right now, it's probably not your personality. It's probably not your disposition, but it is the Lord's personality, and it is the Lord's disposition. And so, one thing, this is something Brother Minoru shared, and I really appreciated this. Man is everything to God. I really enjoyed that. Man is everything to God. God cares about man. And we had a training, right, on Psalms, and there was one message there on shepherding, right? Christ is the pneumatic shepherd, right? And He's, organically, He's shepherding us, right? But I really appreciated this one thing our brother spoke, is why is He shepherding us? I really appreciate, there's a verse, right? The Lord is my shepherd. And His shepherding is just not an outward shepherding where He's taking care of all of our outward problems. Really, His shepherding is an inward shepherding. Right? Because even from what we saw from the previous message, our problems are not outward. Right? We do have outward problems. And the Lord, there is some shepherding. But really, the root of it is inward. Right? And actually, the root of it is, it's in our heart. And so, you just really have to see that the Lord is shepherding us, but He's not just shepherding us so we'll be okay. Right? So I'm good. Right? He's shepherding us because He cares about man. Right? He shepherds people so that these people would shepherd other people. And this is normal. It's normal to be shepherded, and it's normal to shepherd others. So, okay, here's another question is, what is a normal Christian? What are some characteristics? What do Christians do? What does a believer do? What are some characteristics of what we do that make us normal? We love the Lord. We deny ourselves. We pray. Okay, shepherding, of course. That's kind of a giveaway. Read the Bible. Okay. Well, let me... You know, our brother gave us three tests as to whether we are a proper believer. And so the first test, I'll just write them, there's three. The church. The church. Okay. So are you in the church? Right? Do you love the church? Right? Do you meet with the church? Okay. So most of us can handle this test, right? But there's three tests. So are you normal? If you can just handle this one test, you're about 30%. Is that passing? No, that's failing, right? That's pretty low down the scale. So the second test, he said, is fruit bearing. Fruit bearing. And the third test is young ones, which is shepherding. But I appreciated that. You know, we may think that we're very normal because we come to the meetings of the church. We come to all the meetings. We read our Bible. You know, we spend time with the Lord. You know, we're doing so many things. But actually, if you're only doing these things and you're not contacting and caring for people, because these two right here, they're very related. Right? And actually, these three are very related. They all have to do with one thing. People. This is all related to people. So if we are not involved with people, we're not normal. Right? And so these messages, right, yesterday was on twos and threes, right? The day before was on the gospel. So it's like you have to realize that to be involved, to be interested, concerned for people, that's normal. But to have no involvement with people because you're not a people person, that's not normal. And so I'll give you my testimony. When I was in college, I studied renewable natural resources, which was basically, I wanted to be a field biologist. And you know the reason I wanted to be a field biologist? Because you get to be in the field. And you don't have to be around people. Really, it was. And I got to go out, and I got to catch birds and put radios on birds. And I really liked the birds, but I didn't like the people. So I wanted a job where I did not have to deal with people. And I could just be alone somewhere, enjoy nature. You know, I was so happy. It was so serene. But guess what? I met the Lord. And the Lord loves people. And so we had a little conflict. You know, because I didn't love people. I had no interest in people. People are mean. People are selfish. You know, people, they're just annoying. Right? And they're not like me, right? Basically, they do not match my disposition. And I didn't like most people. I like my family, but I can only handle... I mean, I moved out because I didn't want to be around them too much, you know? Really, I was content being alone. I think we're all like... I mean, you look at our country. This country, we have a lot of space between our homes. It's not like this in every country, but... You can buy a big piece of land here, far away from people. And it's not like this is uncommon. This is what people want to do. People want to retire and move away from people. You know what I mean? This is, you have to understand that this is something, because of the fall, we're like this. We do not, we're really, and even if you think you're a people person, so you may think, I'm a people person. You know, I don't have this problem. You're interested in people because it makes you happy. Right? It's self-motivated. It has nothing to do, a lot of times, it has nothing to do with the Lord. It has to do with the self. And when people don't make you happy, right? You're not interested in them anymore. This happens in families all the time. Families are supposed to love each other. They get offended with each other and they stop talking. They're no longer interested. So as long as the family takes care of myself, I love the family. But when the family stops taking care of myself, you stop loving the family. So this is kind of something I just wanted to help you see that we're abnormal. Right? And the Lord wants to bring us into a condition of normality. And a normal person, a normal believer, is one who is fully involved with, interested in, cares for, is concerned for people. Right? So, you know, that's at a point after I came into church life, I think this is even after the training, I think I had started serving. And I was like, well, I want to help people. You know, eventually I was like, well, I want to help people. But eventually it started to bother me. And I remember this experience. It bothered me that I really didn't care whether or not somebody received the Lord. If they didn't receive it, too bad. There's others. And you know what really started to bother me? It really bothered me that I really didn't care whether or not brothers and sisters that I knew went on with the Lord. Whether or not they were spending time with the Lord, whether or not they grow in life, it's no concern to me, you know, as long as I'm growing in life. But you just consider, we're probably all like this. We're really interested in ourselves. But naturally, in our disposition, we're not interested, really interested, genuinely interested in people. But praise the Lord. The Lord is the pneumatic shepherd. Amen. And He's in our spirit. Amen. And He loves people. So, maybe we can just start. I just kind of want to read through the outline and there's a brother that's going to kind of share his experience later on, but let's read the title together. Living a Shepherding Life by Ministering Christ to Others in Love. So above living, you can put goal. The goal is a living. We want a certain type of living. You know, a man of God is a certain type of living, right? Right? A shepherding life, that's a certain type of living. So the goal is a living. And the means, or the nature, is by ministering Christ. This shepherding life is by ministering, by serving people with the Christ whom we've received. But there's a certain condition that has to be met. And this is where we really struggle. And this has a lot to do with what Phil talked about. The condition is love. So above love, you can put condition. And the problem, our problem was brought out in the previous message. Our problem is our heart. You have to realize your heart is your loving organ. Right? And so, you know, in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel, it says that we had a stony heart. A heart of stone. That's a hard heart. And you know, as you go on in human life, you know, all the things in the world, all the hurt, all the pain, it makes your heart, as you go on, that's why it's easier to go to younger people because their heart has not been hardened yet. And that's why it's easy for them to repent, which is to turn their heart. Because their heart is not as hardened. But even with young people, their heart is already starting to get pretty hard, right? And so I really appreciated this. The Lord has given us a heart of flesh, which is a soft heart, which is a heart that has the capacity to love Him and to love others. So there's some verses. They're not They're not listed there, but I was wondering if we could maybe read 2 Corinthians 6, 11 through 13. I really like these verses. Second Corinthians 6. And if you got it, just go ahead and read it.
Our mouth is open to you, Corinthians. Our heart is enlarged. You are not constricted in us, but you are constricted in your inward parts. But for a recommencing time, I speak as to children. You also be enlarged.
Amen. Be enlarged. I really appreciate this. Be enlarged.
Amen.
So, you know, Paul wrote this, and so we may think, well, Paul is the apostle. He's so large, right? He was born with a large heart. You know, you may think he's a superhero, but do you think Paul was so large? Do you think Paul, when he was tearing into the believers' homes, ripping them out, casting judgments at them, and watching them, be stoned to death, right? This is with Stephen. He was there. It says they laid their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul, who became Paul. Do you think his heart was so large? Do you think he cared about people? Do you think he was this kind of person? You know? Paul was, don't get the, I want your thought to your concept to kind of be changed. Paul was not this kind of person. But I like this here. What does it say? Our heart is enlarged. To be enlarged is to be made large. It means it wasn't so large, and it was made large. Right? So Paul's heart wasn't so large. Actually, there's another verse here, and this is in your scripture reading, I think. No, it's not. Let's look up 1 Thessalonians 2:17. Go ahead when you got it.
But we, brothers, having been bereaved of you for a little while, in presence, not in heart, were more abundantly eager with great desire to see your face.
Actually, no, that wasn't it. 7 and 8, I'm sorry. Go ahead, 7 and 8. I really like that phrase there. You became beloved to us. You became beloved. It doesn't say you were beloved to us. Or you were always beloved to us. It says you became beloved to us. Right? So to become something means maybe initially you weren't so beloved to us. But you became beloved to us. So don't think of Paul as like some super spiritual person. Paul was just normal. Paul had a normal experience of the Lord. And so, you just have to consider, I really appreciate it, our brother shared about, God has not given us a spirit of cowardice, but a spirit of power and love. Right. So it's not just a spirit of power. Right? That's related to your will. But it's also a spirit of love, and love is related to your emotion. Right? So you have to understand, our spirit, the spirit that we have been given, is actually a spirit with the divine capital. I remember our brother shared about this yesterday. The capital is in our spirit. Hallelujah. The capital is in our spirit. We have a spirit of love. And actually, what is God? And where is God? Right, He's been installed. The God of love has been installed in your spirit.
Amen.
So you realize it's like really what we need is the exercise of our spirit of love. So I just want to point out, and I'm going to end here, but there's 4 points. Is how do we get to this condition where we actually care for people. How about we read Roman numeral 1?
The shepherd is a life of ministering Christ to others in the condition and atmosphere of love.
And go ahead, read the points under 1.
In shepherding the saints, what is needed is the intimate concern of a ministering life. How fruitful we are, how much fruit we bear, does not depend on what we are able to do. It depends on whether we have an intimate concern.
2. So a lot of times when we go to people, we're a little bit frustrated because they don't respond to us, right? So you get all these names for freshmen and you call them one time and they're not very interested and you hang up and that you cross them off, right? Right? And then you go, well, I got 200 names. Let's go to the next guy. Next guy, next guy. And then you get down at the end of the year and you're like, how come nobody stuck around? Where's the fruit? You know, and you have to realize that the fruit, it really comes out of our heart, right? So we want all these ways to contact people. If I just had the right way, I could gain people. But it's not about your way, right? It's about the heart. If you have a heart for people, they know. If you love people, they know. I remember when I first started contacting the saints, and there was this brother, and he had a wife, and three kids, young kids, and I just remember this one experience. He was kind of taking care of me, and I ate dinner at his house, and I was going to play, I was on a softball team, you know, and I had this doubleheader, and I was there, I was getting ready to leave, you know, I was just wanted to eat something, and on the way out, somebody called me and says, we're short a player, and I was like, oh, well, I'm not going to go, we're short, they're going to forfeit anyways. He's like, well, I can play softball. He couldn't play softball, but he said he could play softball. And so this brother, I was like, okay, he's about 10 years older than me. And I'm like, okay, come on out. So he went with me, and it's kind of weird. I was kind of like, why are you here? You know, really? Like that. And so we went, and there's this, you know what, I don't know if you know what a sports park is. It's basically people drink beer and play sports. Basically, that's what you do at a sports park. So I felt kind of awkward even taking him there, you know, in this environment. You know, because he's a brother, and this is a sports park, you know. So anyways, he's sitting there, and, you know, we had two games to play, and I found out when he was out there, he was our pitcher. He said he could pitch, and he couldn't pitch. And so I'm sitting there watching as he's walking all, you know what I mean, walking. We lost both games by a lot. We put him in the outfield. He ran up. You know, he was running, and the ball's like going this way. And so he couldn't play, or he forgot how to play. I don't know. So he was really disappointed and stuff, and he was apologizing. But all I can remember is thinking, why would this man give up time with his kids, give up time with his wife to come embarrass himself? And all I was like, you know, it's like you have this sensation. It's like, wow, this person cares about me. And that's all I could think about. It's like, wow, this person cares about me. So I was a little uneasy before that around him. And then I was just kind of like, it just caused this. I opened up a little bit. And so now this guy could call me and pray with me. And I didn't feel so weird. I felt like, well, he really cares about me. So he must have my best interest at heart, you know that. And so this is just my test. This is what I saw coming into the church life. It's like, but he had this heart to shepherd me. But this heart, it wasn't just something natural. So I'm going to give you these 4 points. It's like, where does this kind of heart come from? And so first, there's no shortcut. You need to spend time with the Lord. Right? Spend time. And that's what, right? The morning, we have this daily time with the Lord, right? So that we can absorb God, so that we could take God into us, so we can be infused with His heart for man. So the second thing, and this is Philip covered this, is as you're spending time with the Lord, you know, in 1 John it says that God is love, right? What else does it say that God is in 1 John? Light, right? So you need to deal with the Lord. So as you're spending time with the Lord, as you contact the Lord, He is light. He will shine on things. Like Phil was talking about, He will shine on things. And a lot of these things are mainly related to our inner being. You know, and we need to spend the time. You have to deal with these things. You know, it's like a lot of times it's like, you know, fruit bearing, the definition is the overflow of the inner life. But a lot of times there's life coming in, but there's a blockage there. And then we wonder why there's no heart. There's nothing to overflow to people. Well, it has to do with this. We just haven't dealt with our heart. So there's no way for that life to overflow. So the third thing, after you've dealt with the Lord, you've spent time with the Lord, is just to pick up a burden. Pick up the Lord's burden. And I like this word, pick up. A burden. So, there's burdens, you know, in the church life. Okay, there's unbelievers, right? There's believers that are, remember what we talked about, is like everyone probably in here has a big problem. There's nobody that you cannot shepherd. You know what I mean? There's no shortage of people that need shepherding, right? And so, the last thing is after we pick up a burden, we just pick up a burden. It doesn't have to be a lot of people. It's one person, right? And the last thing is we need to learn to be interested in people. And this is, I think this is just more dealing. Learn to be interested. This is just going to the Lord. It's like, Lord, why don't I care? Why don't I care about people? You know? And so there was a portion, I won't read it, and I'm going to give Carlos some time to share, but there's a portion in Ezekiel about shepherds. And it's a negative example of shepherds. And the Lord is rebuking. He says, "Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, for you feed yourself, but you do not feed the sheep. Woe to you." But think about it. Who are these shepherds of Israel? You know? It's like, do you enjoy the Lord? Do you eat Jesus?
Amen.
Do you read your Bible?
Amen.
Do you shepherd people? Maybe. It's like, woe to you. So, Paul's going to paint a more positive picture. But that's a negative example. Sometimes you need that background to really see. So maybe Carlos can come up to share something of his experience.
Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you that you have not given us a spirit of cowardness.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, but of power and of love.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, cover my speaking, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, may I exercise my spirit, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. I don't think I really knew what shepherding was until today, so I don't know if I'm good about sharing this, but last year was my first training, my college training, and when we did the burdens for the campuses, my burden was that there was no really, I was in a sense alone in my campus. And I remember a dear brother also said to me, "You're not alone in that campus, because there are dear believers in that campus." And so I began to be burdened to pray for companions in my campus. And I'm also part of the soccer team, and the Lord really gave me a burden to have a change and not be on the soccer team for His purpose, you know, not for my own enjoyment. And this is still a struggle, but you know, the Lord has been faithful to really give me that vision for my teammates. And this past year, praying, and there was one of the new players came from Colombia, and he came to me, like, the first time I met him and I saw him, he came to me, he's like, "Hey, I heard you're a believer. I want to meet with you. I need the Christian life. I need, you know," and then he said, you know, and from then, I just kind of, I'm sorry, I'm kind of nervous, but Lord Jesus. And now he's been coming to the home meetings with me, and I mean, we drive about an hour every Friday when we can, with a sister from North Georgia and another brother, and we drive down to enjoy the home meetings, and the Lord has also been faithful to bring one of my teammates to Christ, and it has been really good just to fellowship with him, and another teammate who was a believer. But he wanted to know more about the Word. Asked me if I could meet with him once a week, and it's just like it's nothing that I did, but it's something that the Lord just provided for me to do. And so, I'm really there's this Christian song that's on the radio that says, "Give me your eyes." I don't know if you guys have heard it, but I just want the Lord just to give me His eyes, to give me His heart, you know, and that's what we need to be. Our prayer need to be, Lord, just let me feel that burden for others, and it's been so sweet. Even just sharing with them, they will just, I don't know, share some simple truth, but it's just so, it shepherds that they shepherd you too, you know, and then it's sweet when you see them shepherd other people too, like Jose, my teammate who came from Colombia, now he's sharing. He's got a group of teammates that he hangs out with, and he's sharing the Lord with them too. And it's just so sweet that it's like an exponential growth. And oh Lord Jesus, give us your heart, Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus.
First thing I'll do is I'll just apologize. You get a double portion of Paul. I think there was a glitch in the schedule which gave me two spots which got overlooked, and so I apologize. But you have what you have. So I just want to continue presenting this burden, and there's a lot of feeling here, and so we'll just look to the Lord. Initially, what I want to present is that the Lord is sovereign, actually, and He is the trainer here. I don't know if you guys have a sense of it. I'm beginning to have a very clear sense of it. Everything He arranges is sovereign. When we present ourselves to Him, He knows what to share. He shares it in a progressive way. The fact that the two messages, the first two messages of line, the first line, qualifications of man and God, got shifted, that was very sovereign. Nobody arranges this. The Lord does it. He's our real trainer. We're all just under Him. And He leads us, shepherds us. Okay, so the first thing I want to follow up with is Brother Phil's speaking of purity. We all have the response within. We want to be pure in heart. And we saw that basically that comes out of dealings. Right? Okay, we want to follow up here. You know where your dealings come in? You know what's the catalyst for your dealings? Is shepherding. If you want to grow in life, I'm telling you, you can read as many life studies as you want. You can have as much whatever a morning revival might look like. But if you're not shepherding, Your Christian growth is going to be stagnated. Okay, you may grow, but until you begin to genuinely care for people, you're not going to be afforded the necessary dealings to purify your heart and to enable you to mature in life. You know why Paul reached such a status? His heart was so large because he cared for so many people. Okay, I'll just give you a brief example from my testimony. When the Lord touched me, there was a severe kind of breaking in my situation. I was in New York at 911, and I actually had an interview in the tower later on in the week before it was hit. And so it was kind of a dramatic thing, okay? But what it did is it drove me to the Lord very hard. I was just like anybody else. I was like one of those hard New Yorkers, you know what I mean? Just steel-faced, you know what I mean? You pass it, try to give a tract to me, I'm like, I don't need that. I'm already a Christian, you know what I mean? I got what I need, you know what I mean? I was like that. And the Lord had mercy on me. And what came out of it, as I just learned to fellowship with the Lord, is He implanted within me something of a heart for people. And I remember a definite night on my knees when the Lord spoke. And to this day, I still believe it was the Lord speaking. A desire to open up homes for unwed mothers. I don't know, where did that come from, you know what I mean? I'm not an unwed mother, you know. I don't know any unwed mothers, you know. But there was something within me that was planted there from our God's heart. And so, I began to do things according to that vision. And the Lord sovereignly showed me something of His economy and redirected my life. But it is a established principle. If you really touch the Lord, you will be impressed with His heart for people. So let's turn to the outline here, and let's read Roman numeral 2 together. We need to build up a habit of shepherding people regularly by cherishing and nourishing them according to the following practical points. Okay. And the scene here in the first set of verses is Acts 20. And I think Brother Mark referenced it a couple days ago. And the backdrop is Paul is returning from, I think it's his third missionary journey, and he's going back to Jerusalem. He doesn't have enough time to hit Asia. And so he sends a message to the saints in Ephesus. And if you guys didn't know, Ephesus is kind of like the apex church in the New Testament. Paul spent 3 years there, okay? In contrast to the Thessalonians, he spent 3 weeks with the Thessalonians. He spent 3 years with the Ephesians. Okay, actually, if you look at some of the other ministries in the Word, you see Ephesus was really key. When Paul writes to Timothy, what does he say? I charge you to remain in Ephesus. Okay, you know where John is? Or John sees Revelation. What's the first church? Ephesus. Okay, Revelation is written before his epistles. You know where he goes after he gets off of his exile on Patmos when he saw Revelation? Ephesus. Ephesus was key. Paul ministered into the saints there. And I want you to see some of the way in which he ministered in this passage. If you look in Acts 20, verse 19, says, serving the Lord as a slave with all humility and tears and trials, which came upon me by the plot of the Jews. Okay. Then you read verse 31. Watch therefore, or therefore watch, remembering that for 3 years, night and day, I did not cease admonishing each one with tears. Okay. What's the word in both of those verses? Tears. Tears. Paul cared for the Ephesians with tears. Okay, don't get subjective here, but how many tears have we shed for people? Okay, so you look at some of the other places. I think it's 2 Corinthians, chapter 2. Paul's writing to the Corinthians, and he says, you know how I wrote to you with tears. Actually, his first epistle, you know what it was? It was a spanking. He was taking the Corinthians, he's like, you know, they were bad, you know. They had all kinds of problems, and he's spanking them. You know what? Did your parents ever tell you, you know, this is going to hurt you more than it hurts me when they were like, they're spanking you? Oh, me more than you. Okay. Okay, that was my thought. I was like, no, it's hurting me. What are you talking about, you know? But it's true. The heart of a father is, it hurts me. You know what I mean? It hurts me to render this discipline. Okay. This is all attached to what Bobby was sharing. This is a heart of love. Paul had a heart of love for the saints that governed and drove all of his ministry. So, Ashley, if you look at this, tie this to Matthew chapter 5. In case you're not familiar, Matthew chapter 5 through 7 is the constitution of the kingdom people. These are the people that make up, comprise the Lord's kingdom in reality on the earth today. Okay, you guys know what the first beatitude, the blessed is? Blessed are the poor in spirit. You guys know what the second one is? Nope. Yeah, somebody said it. Blessed are those who mourn. All right, if you're genuinely poor in spirit, you empty out, the Lord touches you, you get filled with Him, you will mourn. Okay, these are tears. If you really touch, I just believe, and this is my experience too, when we see the situation around us, once we're impressed with the Lord's inward parts, there's a mourning that's produced. Actually, I mourn many times. I see a situation, and it's like, oh Lord. Okay, I have four siblings. None of my siblings are saved. I mourn for my siblings. These are the Lord's inward parts. We need to have tears, and we need to be those who mourn. Because this world is a dark place. So, thank you, Lord. We need to learn to shed tears for people. Not because we suffered owies, but because we see the state of people. And we realize, actually, at a very fundamental level, that person is going to be in the lake of fire for eternity. That's a long time. And it might suffer, you know, it might injure me. My face might be damaged if I don't speak the gospel to that person. But how does that compare on the scale of eternity of perdition? You know what I mean? I think we live and we walk past people all the time and our heart is untouched by their state and their destiny. We need to have, and we need to go to the Lord that He would peel away the scales, the callus off our heart, right? Actually, this is a good thing to repent to the Lord concerning. Lord, I've been so coarse, so hard towards your feeling for people. Actually, when we used to row, my hands were all calloused. You couldn't feel anything. Actually, I could grab a knife, like a sharp blade, and you could pull on the other side of it, and it wouldn't do anything because my fingers were so calloused over. Sometimes our heart's like that, right? We just touch things in this guy's state. Right? What is that to me? You know what I mean? Because our heart is not enlarged. So I just appreciate, and sorry, this is, I'm sorry, I'm so somber. There's just a lot of feeling here. If the Lord, and the Lord is, desiring to turn the ship of, I'd say, his move on the earth, to bring in what he needs as a last revival, and shepherding people. A people that shepherd people is an integral component. Actually, we shouldn't take lightly what Bobby shared about the three parts of what it is to be a normal Christian. You know, you've only got a 33% if you are just caring for your own attendance. You know what I mean? It's a matter of, are you caring for people? Okay, so there are some more practical things as we go on here. Actually, first I want to touch on A. To feed others, we need to enjoy the riches of the Lord's divine life. This requires that we love Him. Okay, and you guys kind of know the situation, John 21. It's kind of the appendix to the book of John, right? And there... Actually, you know, everything's finished by chapter 22. The Lord's breathed into the disciples, breath of life. They're good, right? But He adds 21 because this is the way to live in resurrection, is to live a shepherding life. So, you know, you guys know the situation. Peter is dragged off some of the disciples to go back to work. They're fishing. And the Lord comes and he meets them at the seaside. And he performs three miracles. First of which, you guys know these? First of which is there's professional fishermen out all night and they catch no fish. All right. Then the Lord says, okay, tell you what, Peter, drop your nets on the other side of the boat. As if that would matter. You ever been in a boat? You drop something on this side or on that side, it's going to the same spot. You know what I mean? Okay, so that's another miracle, right? They catch it, 153 fish, I think? Okay, third miracle, they get to the shore, and Jesus is already cooking up some fried fish, right? They're hauling in the net, and he's already cooking something up. I don't know where he got that, you know? But miracle number three, right? Breakfast out of nowhere. Then he shepherds Peter. Actually, you got to really be impressed by this. When the Lord asks three questions, and you guys probably already know this, so if you do, just bear with me here. He goes, Peter, do you love me, right? And there's some nuances in terms of the Greek, what word for love is used in each question, but my point's not there. He says, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Peter, do you, then he says, what? Shepherd my sheep. No. And he says, feed my lambs. I always confuse the order too. So then he asks a second time, Peter, do you love me? Shepherd my sheep. Third time, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Yeah. So I'm touched here, Ashley, that the Lord establishes two things. And I want you guys to get these. These are two crucial things for your Christian life. Never forget them. And the Lord's pointing them out here. One, he says, never forget who the Lord is. Okay, the Lord's there. And actually, even through that fish, you can see the Lord is shepherding Peter. He came to where Peter was. He's loving Peter in that situation, right? So he says, Peter, you got to realize who I am. I love you. Regardless of how much you forsake me, I'll always love you. You know, I'll never, never forsake you. Okay? So, first thing, never forget who the Lord is. You know, second thing he does, says, three times, do you love me? Why three times? How many times did Peter forsake the Lord? Three times. Okay, never forget who we are. Okay, this is a key ingredient of how to shepherd people. Never forget who you are, where you came from. Okay, I'm not telling you to dwell in introspection here. But the thing is, as we'll get into it later, is you know what we do? We forget who we are. You know what I mean? The Lord touches that with Peter so that Peter realizes. Like Paul says, actually, to Timothy, I am what I am by the grace of God. It's His mercy. Right, actually, what is it? 1 Peter 1:16, I think. He established me as a pattern, as one who has been shown mercy. Something like that. 1 Timothy? Yeah. So, never forget who we are. Okay? Because we are, as we begin to care for people, we'll see all kinds of faults. You know what I mean? You'll see all kinds of situations. And then, it's very easy to forget, actually, guess what? You were just like that. I was just like that. Not responsive. Not turning to the Lord. Immature. And we get frustrated. We're like, man, this guy's surely not a son of peace. Or talk about vessel unto dishonor, you know what I mean? Okay. But we don't realize. It's me. That was just me before some previous mercy. You know what I mean? So the next five step, or the next five things, skipping B, because B we touched yesterday. The next five things are really on the matter of some little pointers on how to shepherd. But they all emanate out of that same principle. Okay, we must learn how to listen to others in order to realize their true need and real situation. Okay, first thing, we need to learn to listen to people. Listen to what they say, listen to what they don't say, and listen to what's happening deep within them. Just actually, watchman Nee's the Lord's character of the Lord's worker? I think he says, you know what the number one characteristic is? Be a listener. Learn to just listen to people. When we're out on the gospel, just listen to people. Ask questions. Talk to them. Okay. Second is, we must never argue with people, regardless of whether they are right or wrong. I still need that. I need to remind myself. I'm kind of argumentative by nature. And so I have to stop myself, actually. I majored in philosophy and psychology in college for my undergraduate. So I loved it. You know what I mean? You want to tango? Let's tango. You know? But I have to stop myself. Never enter into that realm. Okay. Third, we must minister life to others. Right? The flesh profits. The letter kills, but the spirit gives life. We need to learn how to give life to people. Next, we must take the lead to pray with others and to help them to pray, bringing them into a prayer life. Okay, and there's a skill to this. I'm learning a lot. We just need to learn how to, at a certain point, help people to pray. What we say actually can't help that much. We need to learn to help people enter into the Spirit and touch the Lord in prayer. We must contact people continually with patience. Okay, again, this touches the primary principle, right? Remember how much patience people have had with you. How much patience the Lord has had with us. Were any one of us immediately responding to the Lord? You know what I mean? We forsook everything. Our heart was automatically pure. No. Right? We're all a work in progress. And we need to see that the Lord's operation in people takes time. Exercise patience. Which means that we have to have a three-dimensional shepherding. Actually, we need to learn to go to the Lord as we're with people. And allow Him to be our genuine patience. Actually, even more so, and you look in Philippians 4, probably the most important verses in Philippians is? I don't know, it's a really high book on the experience of Christ, but you know what probably one of the most important is? I think it's verse 5. Let your forbearance be made known to all men. The Lord is near. Actually, Lord being near doesn't refer to the Lord descending from the clouds, you know, like His coming is soon. It actually refers to the fact that the Lord is that capital in your spirit by which you can care for people. And forbearance basically means you bear. When somebody is not responding, when somebody is cold, when somebody argues with you, when somebody doesn't thank you, when you get frustrated with people, what do? You bear them. Actually, all those things I just mentioned, they will happen to you. In case you're not familiar with this, you will be discouraged. You will be frustrated. You won't be thanked. You will be mocked. You will be thought less of. And praise the Lord because of it. Welcome to shepherding, okay? Right? That's how you get to purity. That's the purifying of your souls that Peter talks about. So, next in H it says, we must never give anyone under our care the sense that we are forcing them to do anything. I think all of us, if we've been cared for by people, we realize, why don't these people tell me what to do? You know? Just tell me something. Well, we just look to the Lord. And as we care for people, we never force them. We allow the Lord to be the one that rises within someone. So, we learn this, right? We never force. We just allow the Lord to operate. Okay, and I, ultimately, the best way to shepherd people is to give them a proper pattern. This is the example we see in the apostles, and this is the way we must also take. Okay, in 2, actually, this is a fundamental verse for all of us. It says, let no one despise your youth, but be a pattern to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Okay. When we're caring for people, don't think that you are automatically their spiritual father. Okay? Many of the ones that we may contact are going to be roughly the same age as you, right? And actually, they'll quickly be your companions. The best medicine is just a healthy pattern. If you look at those verses in 1 Thessalonians under 1, you'll see that what Paul did when he was with the believers, he just was. Actually, he says, you know what kind of entrance we had towards you. You know what kind of men we were for your sake. He just was. Actually, okay, write this down. If you cross-reference that with Acts chapter 17, I think it's verse 6, this is where Paul is speaking to is with the Thessalonians. And there's this weird verse that says, and the response of the Thessalonians were, who are these men who have upset the world? Okay, so the Thessalonians were like, these guys rocked the whole city. What did they do in 1 Thessalonians? They just were. It wasn't like their speaking rattled the cages of everybody. They just were. So we need to begin to realize we need a living that has impact. Your words actually will be much discredited if your living doesn't match it, right? Okay, I'll give you one testimony. When I was in college, I had this weird experience where I was just really enjoying the Lord. And I was just sitting in a class before it began. I didn't have my Bible cracked or anything, but I was just enjoying fellowship with the Lord. He was so real and so near. And this woman comes over to me, and she just says, what do you have? She's like, I don't know what to say, but what is it that you have? And I'm like, you know, there's lots of people in this class. I'm just sitting there. And she was like 70 years old. And she just, I don't know. She just had a sense of something. It's real. If you're really enjoying the Lord, there will be a savor, right? Of life unto life and death unto death. And then you have a ground by virtue of that to speak to people. Okay, so actually, I preached the gospel to her, and then I went and, you know, she asked me to have lunch sometime. Okay, I wasn't getting hit on by a 70-year-old woman. I didn't even think about that until just now. But, we met in a very public place, you know what I mean? And I just shared with this woman the gospel. I don't know. Nobody ever told me not to spend time with people of the opposite sex, so I just, you know. But anyways, it's real. If we have a pattern, a healthy pattern, that ministers life to people. Okay, and I actually appreciate the first thing that he mentions is be a pattern in word. We actually have to watch our speaking. There's another verse that says that the Lord will judge us according to every idle word that emanates out of our mouth. Now, I'm not telling that we all need to be stoics walking around, you know, like, but realize that in our speaking, I mean, I'm just thinking on the dorms. If you're laughing, I'm not saying laughing's wrong, but if you're always goofing off, chasing somebody down the hall with a squirt gun or whatever, you know, and then somebody comes down the hall and you're like, oh, yeah, praise the Lord. You know, the Lord's a real satisfaction. He's going to be like, what are you talking about, you know? You're just a goofball. And I'm not saying again that we just need to be these somber people all the time, but watch what pattern we establish amongst people. And another way to see this verse, actually, I used to think of it like this: I'm young, you're old. Don't despise my youth. Hey, you're despising, you know? Hey, you know, 1 Timothy 4:12. Don't despise, right? Actually, look at it in this way. Have a pattern that nobody could despise. Live in such a way, whether you're around older people or people your own age, that people can't despise, because there's nothing to despise. That means that we have to take care of these matters, right? Word, conduct, love, faith, purity. Okay, so, sorry, went a little over. But praise the Lord. We can have a heart for people, and we can learn practically how to care for them. And actually, it is the process by which we become pure in heart and live as men of God.